thrilled to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. If you want the truth, you talk to this guy about anything with the NFL. He's former Browns defensive coordinator, Browns interim coach. Guy did a great job when he was the head coach of the Browns. Mr. Greg Williams joining us. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Coach.
Hello, Jeff, Dan. Thank you for inviting me on. It makes me smile when I hear your introduction, and I'm glad that you go ahead and preface this by, you guys better not ask me a question that's going to hurt your feelings, because I'm going to answer it honestly.
That's a valid point.
I'm not going to ask you anything about me, so I don't think you can hurt my feelings, so that's good.
Greg, no, it's great.
Your career, you've been in football so long, you've had seasons that haven't gone well. What happens when a season goes south like this? And then what do the folks who are standing after the season do to fix it?
You know, and that's a great question, and the fans need to hear this too, is that when things go this way, and I look back, and I've had a few, not very many, a few of the seasons that have gone that direction, and I believe with all my heart, it's some of the best coaching jobs and learning experience I ever did to get the guys through it, and everybody would see the next year of the amazing improvements and stuff. We learn by everything. We learn by success. We learn by failure. And if you're and the people involved are too stupid to figure that out, then you're going to continue to have down seasons, down games, down falls like that. And, you know, and I think the players, and again, I've coached, you know, up around 2,500 NFL players throughout all these years, they could tell, you know, that the seriousness and then the more recruiting anger, the more recruiting crankiness that I had on getting them ready to go the next time. But, you know, the things that we see going on and everything, and I say this before you ask this question later on, the thing that pisses me off the most when I watch college games and NFL games are pre-snap penalties. And that's coaching. And the reason it's coaching, you're allowing it to happen. And that every day in practice, those kind of experiences have to make sure that they're being thought out so that doesn't happen in a game, because you don't penalize your team before the ball's even snapped. Are you kidding me? That kind of stuff right there has to be done in a manner that the players understand, hey, this is our responsibility to make sure that now we can go after yards, go after the ball, go after blades of grass, score points, defend points, all that kind of stuff. But pre-snap penalties, it makes me vomit.
So, Coach, we're running into that all over the place here. I mean, there's this great one where a young player hopped offsides on the one-yard line and basically started a drive for Joe Burrow and that stuff. When that stuff takes place, Coach, is that coaching or is that just players being overly aggressive? We'll say make it sound like that.
It's a combination of both. And then now here's what I need to ask you right now. Do you know if that player stayed in the game and played the next play?
Oh, goodness. I got to go back and look. I don't
well,
know.
I will tell you this. With me, it ain't going to happen. Decide who plays and who don't play. And when you do stupid things like that, you come stand by me. And if it continues to happen, the players will tell you right now, you talk to any of them, he's going to send you up to sell beer in the stands. Yeah, the next time I'm going to say, go sell beer in the stands. You're done. You're done. You cannot have that on the 1 yard line.
It was on the 1 yard line with Joe Burrow with the ball.
And when people say that's just the player wanting to be aggressive because they want to make it positive in his mind, it's not positive in his mind. It's stupid in his mind. You can't win that way.
Greg Williams joining us. The Browns sitting here at 3-13. If you look at this crew and think this is the thing it needs first and foremost without question, is it quarterback, Greg, or is it something else?
I'll tell you right now, and I think that, you know, I think Kevin and Andrew and the people behind the scenes have done things the last 2 years that have improved spots on the roster pretty well. Okay, they've done a good job with that. But the quarterback position has not played correctly. It is not. And, again, I go back and say this. You know, when I took over in those last eight games of the year, and I wasn't going to do that, but the players, you know, sprinted up to my office and talked me into going back down the hallway when they offered me the job to say, okay, I'll do this. But then I had some things, requirements that ownership, general manager, everybody had to do for us to do this. Okay. We were dead last in the league, giving up 38 sacks and 41 hits on the quarterback. And the first day that I took over, and again, I played quarterback, and I was an offensive coordinator for 10 years, and I changed everything we did offensively. I went through Bob Wiley and Ken Zampezi and Freddie and everything and narrowed the 26 pass protections down to 6, and Baker went off. Baker went nutbag, like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And I grabbed him by the collar and pulled him within an inch of my nose, and I said, you want to know how you do this? Get rid of the ball. You're holding the ball too long. And, you know, do you think that those offensive linemen have eyeballs in their buttholes? They have no idea with how you're moving around in the pocket and giving up sacks because you're holding it and your plant foot is deeper than 7.5 yards. Sometimes it's 9.5, 10.5, 11.5, and I don't care. Old Greg Williams can get out there and speed rush and get to you on that. I'm going to put a siren in practice, and every time that you hold the ball 2.5 seconds or longer, a siren's going off. And you know what? That siren's going to keep going off because you're going to prison, because everybody on the team is going to prison because Baker's not holding the ball. I watch him play right now. I'm so proud of him. We go the next 8 weeks and give up 2 sacks and 7 hits on the quarterback. We were number one in the league in protecting the quarterback with the same offensive line that everybody says sucked. They don't suck. That's part of the quarterback. Where did I learn that? I learned that going against Tom Brady, coaching against Peyton Manning, coaching against Drew Brees, Joe Montana, all those guys. They made their offensive line better. The quarterback play has not been very solid at all, okay, at the Browns right now. And when that gets fixed, watch how much better they get. And watch how they keep the games closer. Because Jim Schwartz understands that too. He's been with me. He totally understands all those factors on winning a game. Fix the quarterback and watch the improvement.
Former Browns coach Greg Williams joining us. You can see him on Big Play. Come get some with he and Blake. A great watch always. And, of course, former Browns coach, defensive coordinator, interim head coach. Won a Super Bowl with the Saints as well. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Coach, the Browns are talking that they're going to play DTR and Bailey Zappe this week. What do you think when you hear a team going, well, here's the third string and fourth string quarterback. Let's hope for the best.
You know, I can't explain and keep the language serviceable for your radio station.
Thank you for that, Greg. Thank you.
Because, you know, I don't want it to go beep, 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 beep. Is that kind of stuff, you know, I just shake my head. You know, how you're going to end the season? There's a way right now to make ending the season feel like I can't wait to get back and start working. But if it continues to be the same old BS, that's not, okay? That's not how we go about finishing it. And then again, you know, you're playing the Baltimore Ravens. And John Harbaugh and I go way back, and I love that family to death. And I tell John and Jim all the time, I still talk to Jim a lot. I talk to John too, but I talk to Jim a lot. And I said, it's a good thing that you had a mom and dad to understand, okay, the seriousness of how you go about doing things when you're coaching other people. It's going to be a tough game here. I mean, they're an extremely physical team. And, you know, these players need to feel good about going into the offseason, okay? And if those two cats are going to play at the quarterback position, then everything that the game plan's about is protecting them with running the ball, play action protection. If it goes to 5 or 6 man protections, then you have a shock collar on his testicles that if he holds the ball longer than 2.5 seconds, shock him. okay? Because that's the only way you're going to be successful against a dominant Baltimore Ravens defense in this last week.
Greg Williams joining us. You had Myles Garrett in his rookie year. Myles Garrett has been vocal the last couple of weeks. I want to know what's going on. I want to win. I want to know what's going on here. If you're the Browns, what do you tell Myles Garrett? And if you're Myles Garrett, what do you want to hear?
You know, when I saw that come out there, you know, obviously I still communicate with all those guys. You know, and I don't know if you guys saw me at that preseason game when David Njoku comes sprinting over acting like he was going to light me up and tackle me. I thought he was going to blow me up, and he stopped about 1 inch from my chest with his helmet. And I still talk to all those guys, and it made me smile when I saw Myles say that. And because Myles has a voice, and you know, and I was very hard on him when he came in, because everybody has to see how you treat the best player in the room. Because when you sugarcoat things to the best player in the room, then everybody else thinks they're going to get sugarcoated and they're not going to perform and play up to their standards. And every single day you got to hold guys to the standards, myself first, the coach, and then the players, and then there's a great relationship that way. I think that that is a very important thing to Myles now as he's entering his career. I can't tell you how proud I am of him, you know, and I tell you that all the time, where if I didn't, you know, put my foot down, they were going to draft Mitch Trubisky instead of drafting Myles Garrett that day. And then what he's been able to do with that. And it's not anymore just about those records to Myles. It's about winning the championship. It's about bringing that trophy to Cleveland. It's about doing those things for the fan base and for the city, you know. And I'm very happy that he's involved, you know, in ownership at the Cavs. And then now let's see yourself, Myles, continue to motivate, improve, and be a sounding board for those young guys when they need it. I think they got to do a very good job and have a very organized plan and present it to him and everybody there. And then, boom, get off on the right foot when everybody gets energized again, hit the ground running on day one in the offseason program, and build to a championship.
All right, so I got to ask you, Coach, because you brought up the Harbaugh family a little bit earlier. What makes Jim so successful? He just blows me away everywhere he goes, Coach.
Yep. You know, first off is that, again, there's a big poster, not a poster, but a big wall hanging when you walk in the door of every meeting room that I've had for 40 years in the NFL. And the very first thing in great big print with the colors of the team, you know, brown and orange, you know, for the Browns, it says check your ego at the door. And boom, you have to be able to check your ego at the door. And the players need to see me do that. And when they see me do that, then by gosh, they can do that. Jim, as a successful player, as a successful coach, every single second of every day, he checks his ego and relates to the players and understands when he's saying things, even in sometimes an ass-chewing way. He's doing it to make everybody better, himself better. He provides an example. And when you provide an example first that someone can see, then it's amazing how much better they listen to you and they feel what you're saying in those types of way. I think Jim communicates so well. We stay very close. You know, we just had a conversation here a couple days ago, and we stay very close with a lot of things that's going on. We've had some knockdown, drag-out fist fights, coaching against each other. And in those battles, my respect for him grows as his respect for me grows. And then when we actually do talk to each other, we listen and feel each other when we're doing that. The players do a great job with that. And I'm telling you what a fantastic job he's done with Justin Hebert. What an unbelievable job. And how he went in there from day one and set the parameters and set the voice out there about how proud he was to have the opportunity to help him get better. By gosh, he did, didn't he?
And pumped that dude up every turn.
Yeah, Herbert's been really good.
Pumped him up every turn. Every single press conference, he's out there going, man, if there's an – I hope that this guy quarterbacks for the rest of my career. He's been wonderful. I mean, good golly, the positivity that goes into that guy, and you see it on the field, Coach. It blows me away.
You see it on the field, and all Justin's heard his whole life is, you know, he had a 5.0 at grade points, never made a B in his life. He's a straight-A student. He's brilliant. He's smart as all get out. And how do you go about getting that person to want to please you? You think that now Justin wants to please Jim and all of his teammates? And then also, behind the scenes, when nobody sees it, Jim does do a very good job correcting him in a real stern way, so the rest of the teammates see him be stern at times with Justin, too. I'm very proud of him, and I'm really looking forward to those guys continuing to do it. I don't think people's talking enough about how good Greg Roman's doing as the offensive coordinator and how Jesse Mintner is doing at the defensive coordinator. I'm real proud of young Jesse and what he's been able to do, too.
Greg, last thought, and Greg Williams joining us. If you're the Browns, you're sitting here, Deshaun Watson's contract is probably unmanageable. He's going to be here next year. Jameis is here now. You've got Zappe. You've got DTR. Would you bring back one of these guys? Would you try and sign a veteran who might have a year or three left, something like that? Would you go for a young veteran? Would you go for a rookie in the draft? How would you tackle the quarterback spot next year?
I'd go for a veteran. And every day is a competition. I would make sure that we had a quarterback that we could win with, and we would do it in a way that every day is a competition, and it's not just with the guard. It's not just with the DBs. It's not just with the wide receivers. It's with the quarterback every day. And when things are that way and that you're not anointed or just given a position, that what now, because I'm paying you so much, now we have to let you play. No. Every day is an interview, me to you, you to me. And that interview better be making sure that you're the first one in the office, the last one out. You're the first one on the practice field, the last one off. And that you are performing and doing your things in a preparation way, in a preparatory way, that you're going to win championships. If not, adios. Go sell beer.
Greg, thank you very much. Always appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Coach. And a very happy holidays to you, your family, and everything else, man.
Thank you very much. You guys have a merry, merry, merry 2025, and I appreciate you having tough enough resilience to ask me dumb questions, and I'll answer them.
We can make them dumber.
We're good at dumb questions.
Lord knows I've got dumber thoughts than these.
No, I appreciate your friendship. Have a great year.
All right, Greg. Appreciate it. Greg Williams, former head coach of the Browns, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
Well, we had a dump up three times. That's pretty good.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.